Let us open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. I know that Eduardo has been preaching through the Psalms, but we'll look at Psalm 107, so I'm pretty sure it'll take a while before we'll ever get there. Psalm 107 is one of my favorite Psalms. It's the Psalm of Wisdom, as we will see. We'll read the Psalm in its entirety. And it reads kind of like a storybook, as you will see. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by the straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some set in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze, he cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction, and they loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, and their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. There he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get fruitful yields. By his blessing, they multiply greatly. And he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of the affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Let us pray for the blessing of the preaching of God's holy word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with open hearts, with a mouth that desires to give thanks to you. We pray, feed us with these words. Open our eyes and our heart that we might give you more thanks. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we might see Christ in this psalm, the revelation of God that is our salvation. I pray, Lord, for all of us to hear this word, that it may be as though we're seated in heaven itself at the feet of Christ, listening to your teaching. Father, we pray that in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, my dear family and friends in Christ, it's been a difficult year for many of us. And now suddenly comes the day of Thanksgiving, a day in which we stop, take a breath, and thank the Lord our God for everything he has given us. Sometimes it takes a little bit more effort to be thankful, for stress, anxiety, cares, and anger, and many other emotions can overpower or drown out the thankful heart. I think this is a year in which we can be thankful, and maybe even more thankful in the years before. Because sometimes the year is so filled with earthly blessing that we miss the sight of Christ, but this year the earthly blessing seems to be threatened from every side. And so this morning we are going to take a break from all these emotions and all the stress and all the news and everything else and sit down at the feet of God to learn from him, to have our ears open, our eyes open, to hear and see his guiding love in our lives. For our days require wisdom, wisdom to spend our days in thanksgiving rather than stress. For this is a day to be rejoicing in the Lord, a day to be glad and have our hearts overflowing with a pleasant theme. Psalm 107 to me is the psalm of the wise. I know that Proverbs has a lot of wisdom, and if you think about wisdom, you usually think about the book of Proverbs. But I think Psalm 107 is the way that the crucial theme of wisdom for all our hearts in this year. It gives us a focus in life, a way to look at life in this world. It's the northern star of wisdom through which the thankfulness, a thankful heart, becomes attainable, reachable, and near. Here's what I mean. Look at the last verse of this psalm. Whoever is wise, or whoever desires to be wise, let him attend to these things. Let him focus, meditate upon these things. Let him consider, ponder the steadfast love of the Lord. Isn't that a curious statement? Wisdom is not, and it says, of course, it's in the fear of the Lord in many other ways, but here it says, if you want to live a wise life, if you want to be a wisdom-filled person, you must live your life by considering the love of God, by keeping your eyes and your focus fixed upon the love of God, and then you will know what life is really about and what's really going on in our lives today. And this is wisdom in 2020, to consider and meditate upon the steadfast love of God. It's when we meditate upon this steadfast love that we can join the psalmist in verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Isn't that beautiful? That is the heart, the beating heart of a wise man. He rejoices in the Lord in the midst of anxiety. When the world is in a panic, we stand up with joy in our hearts, lifting our hands to the God in heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for your enduring, steadfast love. Psalm 107 gives us four scenes, four short stories that show us a picture of the steadfast love of God. And as we are All of us, we like pictures better than long stories. We like to see it in action, usually, rather than have a long theoretical explanation of what the love of God entails. I will take you on these four stories, these four journeys, in which we see the steadfast love of God. And if you look very carefully, you will find yourself in each of these four stories, these four pictures. So let us look at these. These are the stories. I've listed them here as the steadfast love to the lost wanderers, the steadfast love to the darkness dwellers, the steadfast love to the foolish, and the steadfast love to those in danger. Let's begin with the lost wanderers. Our first group, it's the text from verse 4 to verse 9. Our first group are the desert dwellers. They're introduced this day. Some wandered in desert wastes and finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. We see a people walking through the desert. Their throats are parched. They have no hope. And they look at each other as they move on through this desert. But they know that soon as their water has run out, they're going to die. And there's no city which they can dwell in. When they find a city, the city says, "Be gone, you're not welcome in our city. Go back in the desert, find another place." And so they go from little desert city to little desert city, but find no home. They're in a hopeless situation. Were they rejected by the people who lived in the cities, or had they wandered off? We don't know, for it doesn't matter. Here they are, exposed to danger on every side, as though they have no homes to keep them safe. They're outside, surrounded by danger. In the heat of the day, it's too hot. In the cold of the night, it's too cold. Who is there to help them in a world where everyone is focused on themselves and everybody wants to build their own kingdom? They have no hope. And as they find no hope horizontally among other people, they look up to God, and they cry out to the Lord in their trouble when no one around them can help them. And this is the great refrain of Psalm 107. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. What did they cry? I think they cried this: help. They didn't bring any offering. They had nothing. They were just people who were dying in the desert, not important people, no eloquent prayers. They just cry to the Lord with the last bit of breath that they have. They cry to the Lord. And God's steadfast love answers immediately. They don't bring offerings, they just cry. And this is the beautiful reality of God's steadfast love, my dear friends. When you see in the news and all these hopeless situations, come back to Psalm 107 and realize that when a people really cries to the Lord, he always answers in his steadfast love. Always. He always helps those who cry in need. It is though God was waiting for them to cry out. You can almost see God looking down, and they're looking everywhere, not to God. And finally, they look up with tired and exhaustion, and they're really the last help. Finally, they will cry to the Lord. But the Lord is looking for just a single glimpse of their eyes to look on him. And the song is, as soon as they cry a little word, help, God pours out the riches of his steadfast love. And then it says this: he led them by a straight way, till they reached a city to dwell in. In other words, God came and entered into their life and took them by the hand and led them straight, not turning here and there, straight to a city to dwell in. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, in 2020, looking back on this, who were the lost wanderers that were led by a straight path, a narrow way to a city? Does it not describe you and me? Were we not once in the desert or the wilderness of sin? Were we not once a people wandering this earth, walking around in the wilderness of our iniquity? Did we not feel as though we had no home, for our clothes were filthy with sin? And then when we cried out to the Lord in different ways at different times, but nonetheless to the Lord, did he not give us the narrow path to the heavenly Jerusalem? Has he not bring us to Emmanuel's land? Has he not taken us out of this wandering and now set before us the city of God to which we walk? Is this not us here? And so Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 says this: let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. My dear friends, it's been my incredible privilege to see God using you to fill my hungry soul by your encouragement and your words of Christ, sometimes with little notes or little gifts, or sometimes with words of encouragement, or sometimes just a friendly face. He's using even you to fill my soul. And so when I read these words, they are not a promise to once receive. They're a promise received by God. And has he not filled all our souls? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of our turmoils and trouble, has he not given us a satisfied soul with the love of God? Give thanks to the Lord, my friends, for he has given you more than this world could ever offer you. He has given you a city to dwell in, a city in which the taxes are paid by the king, a city in which the houses are built by the king, in a city in which the work and all the labor is made by the king himself, a city prepared for you. And as we saw earlier this year, a house within that city prepared for you. And so, my dear friends, we are no longer, if you're in Christ, the wanderers in the desert, but we're those who are now on that straight path to God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a greater reason to give thanks? I'd rather have this than a peaceful world. I'd rather have this than all the riches and fame in the world. Because this is the steadfast love of God on display in our lives. Because he loves us. Because he goes after us when we wander in the desert. Is not the Lord the one who satisfies our hungry souls? Does not he fill your heart with good things, my brother? Has he not satisfied your soul, my sister, with the love of Christ this year? Remember and be wise that your Savior is the Lord, the one who leads you to the God of miracles. Let your heart be filled with thankfulness, for he is leading you home. And this has just been another year closer to the city which is ours. And so we come to our second group. We move on to the next scene, so to speak. The steadfast love to the darkness dwellers. And so we come to this second picture, but the situation of these people is far more grim. Some set in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. These are a people not just in the wilderness. They sit in darkness. They have sinned against God. They are prisoners of affliction and irons because they would not listen to the Most High. God spoke to them and they walked the other way. Their hardship is from God because they rebelled against him even though they knew better. Well, certainly, their situation is more hopeless than the last. The others we didn't see. I mean, they were without a city, but they were just wandering. But these people have been cast into darkness because God spoke to them in his love and they rejected him. Certainly, who can save them if it is God who punished them for their rebellion? What hope is there for these poor souls? 13 and 14. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. What distress? Distress they deserved. He delivers them. God delivers them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, out of the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. They cry to the Lord, even though the chains that lay on their wrists and their ankles belong to God because they have rebelled against God, even though because their heart was darkened because they had turned away from the Lord, God is breaking his own bonds from them and pushing away the darkness that they deserved because of his love. My dear friends, if you've ever wondered, after you've rejected the word of God again and again and again, well, now certainly God will never speak to your heart again. Read these words, my friends. Because does it not hear, is it not written here crystal clear that these people rebelled against God, sit in darkness, chained in darkness, but God sets the prisoners free. There is no time in which you cannot call upon the Lord. There is no time in which you cannot call upon the Lord, which means every day you can call upon the Lord. Even if you'd rebelled against him, you can still call upon him. They made God their enemy, but when they called upon him for help, he was no longer their enemy, but their friends, and not only that, he was their Savior. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. I love that. You know why? Because it shows the great eagerness that God has. He doesn't go there with a toolkit or finds the keys and puts the key in the keyhole. No, he goes and he said, "Be free. You called upon me. I'm going to set you free because I love you. So I want you to walk in freedom. Because this is what I've been waiting for. You rebelled against me. I know that. But now you call upon me. Your heart is open towards me. Come, my friend. The house is open. The chains are gone." Well, my dear friends, does this passage not speak about you and me? Do we not rebel against God, especially we who heard of his grace and rejected him in so many years? Even if you came to the Lord when you're 8 or 10 or 12, you rejected him years before, haven't you? Or even when you come to know the Lord, have we not sometimes closed our ears to the word of the Lord? But then, on that glorious day of salvation or renewal, when we call upon his name, he saved us. Even after we rebelled, our rebellion was long and dragging and drudgery. But when his salvation came, it was quick, swift, and strong. He saved us out of darkness into light. Now, if his heart was so full of forgiveness when you lived in rebellion, how much more is his heart warm towards your life today? If he loved you like that when you rebelled against him, do you really think that he doesn't want to see you when you sin against him today? Do you really think that you need to go away in a dark corner and sit there in sorrow and anguish? Will the Lord still forgive me? Don't you remember that God is an all-knowing God? That even when he saved you, he knew the sin that were to come? Don't you know that this is the God whose heart burns with love for you? That longs to have that intimate fellowship with you, walking with you day after day? This is the love of God we're talking about, not your love or my love. Our love is kind of like a wave, isn't it? It goes up and down and up and down and up and down, and hopefully over time it grows a little. But God's love is like the ocean itself. It's always there in a fullness of strength. It's always overwhelming. Nobody can drench the love of God. It is filled with strength and power and potency. So, Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. I love this part of God, this passion of God. I think sometimes we've domesticated God into this big being, which he is. I mean, he fills all of eternity. But we've kind of made God as this person that just kind of interacts in calm, gentle manner, as though his love is, I will accept you, come in. I will not accept you, go out. As though he is only passionate when it comes to wrath, then he is filled with passion. But here, do you hear the, I don't know how to say this better, this might come out wrong, the energy of God's love, the eagerness of God's love. He shatters the doors of bronze. He blows it up. He blows the obstruction so that he can have that sweet fellowship with us. He cuts into the bars of iron. Now, in those times, they did not have hydraulic scissors or dynamite or explosion. What the author sees here is that nothing can stand in between God and you when you cry upon the name of the Lord. When you say, help, Lord. History is not decided and explained by inventions or wars, but by the wondrous works of the Lord. That's what history is, right? As some people say, his story, right? That's how history is defined, by the works and the hands of the Lord. The times when sinners cry to the Lord and God brings salvation, the time when a single sinner cries upon the name of the Lord is a more enduring event than any world war in the history of mankind. You came to know the Lord is a more majestic and greater reality than the whole pandemic put together. Because the things in this earth are temporary. And if you multiply 16 million times temporary, it's still a temporary time. But when one soul comes to know the Lord, it's eternal salvation. Do you see that? My dear friends, let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love to us who have called upon his name even after we rebelled. And we all did. If you've never rebelled, you're probably still in rebellion. But when we call upon the name of the Lord, his salvation is swift, strong, enduring, and everlasting. So let us go to our third group, the steadfast love to the foolish. Now I know that we live in a day and age where we love the New Testament, and where the Old Testament is that book where we sometimes pick passages from the Psalms, or we read the law from Deuteronomy, or we do different, or from Numbers, or we take different passages, but we don't read the Old Testament through necessarily, but we lose a lot. Because this word, foolish, in the Old Testament is the equivalent normally of what? The unsaved. You have the wise, those who follow God, and the fool, which is the unsaved, normally in the Old Testament. But look how we die with that context, how we look at this. We see a scene of absolute hopelessness, especially when we consider the law of God. These people live like fools, destroying themselves by their sins and having lost their appetites through their wicked hearts. That's the connection. Would you see that in our world today? Where people have lost their appetites through their sins? Is that not exactly what we see in our world? Our country that is so rich. We have better food and better things of almost anything in our country today. But people have come to the point where they have not given thanks to the Lord. And so now they try to find more, but it doesn't satisfy them. Their appetite cannot be satisfied, and so they go disgruntled and angry through this life because they can't find joy and satisfaction in everything, because their appetite for life has become numb, dull. Life becomes meaningless. Flavors of food are not enough. Nothing is ever enough to satisfy that hungry desire inside for more. Everything becomes saltless, tasteless because of sin. They live wild lives of wickedness and sin and have now come to the point of death. They've reached the end of their rope. Now they finally see their misery and danger. Certainly, God must be wiser than to save these. These deserve damnation. If any, these that have run away from God, that have not just rebelled against God, they've walked in a life that misses the mark. God, you want us to go that way? We're going that way. They've twisted everything, walked in a wrong way in every possible way, have given their hearts to every idol in the world as though a wife in a marriage has gone and slept with everyone else in the city. These deserve swift damnation. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress, just like that. Isn't that awesome? Would the Lord even save the fool? Well, here it goes. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Immediately, God sends out His word. He speaks. He responds, right? He sends His word and saves them from destruction. The single cry of the fool opens the heart of God for salvation and pours down His words. Oh, that we would find such love in our own hearts. How quick we are to judge, how fast we harden our hearts, how long it takes for our hearts to make soft and pliable again. But not so with God. He stands ready to forgive even the fool. Ready to turn the tide of destruction and transform it into salvation. Now, my dear friends, I know some of you must have picked it up already, but this verse here, He sent out His word and healed them. What's the passage that connects that in your head? Who is the word? The word was with God, and the word was God. Whether the one who writes this psalm sees this already as a person, I cannot look into his mind. But I think as we read the totality of Scripture, I think the word here that ascend is Jesus Christ Himself. The word that God sent down to the earth to heal those who have fallen into sin. Blessed is the Lamb of God who came to take away what? The sins of the world. This group here that has sinned so much that it now loathes its food, it's lost its appetite, it's bound in sin, there's no way out, and God sends not just a word, He sends His Son to die for you. Because that's the only way to pour out, not just set them free, but I want them to be free from sin. And not only that, I want these people here at Seven Reformed Church to become children of the living God. I don't want them to just be free and then be lost again. I want to adopt them into my home, cleanse them. And the only thing that can make that happen is if I pour the blood of my only begotten Son on the dust of the earth. When I take my Son, put it in their place, receiving their judgment, taking their place of judgment so that they can escape through that same route and be children of the living God. That's what God did. These fools, I'm one of them, who ran the wrong direction, who rebelled and sinned to the point where my appetite was gone, was just trying to temporarily satisfy my desires, but I couldn't find satisfaction. I had sinned to my own destruction. When I cried to the Lord, by His mercy bringing that invitation to my heart, He changed that. Actually, He changed everything. He took my sin and my rebellion and my bonds and my darkness and my desert and all of that, He transformed into becoming His beloved child. So that now when I read the Bible and I see the heavens were opened up and God spoke down and this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, I'm saying, and I'm too. You're the beloved Son in whom you're well pleased because I'm wearing the robes of Christ. Even though your heavens do not open it, it's written in your word, which is just as strong and glorious to my soul. Let them thank, verse 21, let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy, which is exactly what we're doing this morning. Did you notice? Do we not come this morning with sacrifices of thanksgiving, giving Him praise, thanking the Lord in our prayers? In our hearts, setting a day apart by God's grace to thank Him today, and singing then songs of joy. This Thanksgiving is not a time of mourning, but a time of celebration, a time to lift up our eyes to the heavens and praise God for His amazing grace, because it's still here today. We're still the children of God. 1 year has passed, we're 1 year closer. Last year, there were people sitting in this congregation who are now with the Lord. We don't know what our last Thanksgiving will be on the earth. It gives me grief that I can't see them, but joy knowing that they're with the Lord. And they give thanks with a pure heart. They would be compared to me, it'd be an insult to them because they're glorious in appearance as they thank the Lord with a pure heart. I don't want to bore you by saying the same thing every time, but what I look forward to in heaven is to serve the Lord with a pure heart. Think about that. That there is nothing in your heart that is dull or distracting or confusing or stressed or burdened or anything else. It's just a pure heart praising God. Our God may give us years of plenty or years of scarcity, but He will never withdraw His gift of salvation. And in Jesus, He blesses us with the abundance of grace. And to give to Him, we give thanks because of Jesus. Our thanksgiving is a celebration of joy. You see, in this world, people are now saying, well, this Thanksgiving is different than other years. Well, my dear friend, there's people in the world where people live in camps, dying of starvation, where children's bones can be counted from head to toe. We are incredibly blessed this year with an abundance. But our joy is not dependent on that. Our joy is dependent upon God. And I hope the next year will be a joy-filled year with joy in God, whatever this country may bring. Whatever the leaders or pandemics or wars or things may attack us, strike us, let us be a people who thank the Lord in season and out of season. And it only comes to the wise to thank the Lord. For the wise consider the steadfast love of God. That's why the wise are always thankful. Because the wise, their joy is not based upon this world, but upon the kingdom of God. If you want to be a joy-filled person, that can withstand a difficult day, the day of pain, that can walk through hardships and difficulties and stresses. Let your wisdom be the steadfast love of God. So finally, we come to the steadfast love to those in danger. The last scene is about businessmen of all people, sailors who travel the sea for business. In the midst of the seas, they see the great deeds of the Lord. If you look at these three examples, it seems to go to a crescendo, and then suddenly we're in a whole different field. Because these businessmen don't show to be particularly sinners. They don't show anything wrong. They just go about their ways. We could say in Israel the sea was something dark and dangerous, but nothing in our text leads us to think that these were sinning people. And so my conclusion is that this example is not towards unbelievers becoming believers, but to people like you and me who go through the business of our lives, who see different things coming on our path, because we can have fears too, can we not? We can have hardship. Our year may have been very difficult. We may have lost family members. I know some here who have lost multiple family members. All of us have lost multiple friends this year. This is what it says. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths there, and the people, of course, on it, in the boat, the ship. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Are you at your wits' end? We all come to places where we're at our wits' end, isn't it? In this life, that we don't know where it will go. We don't know what our health will do. We don't know where our family is going, where our future is going, where our country is going. We come to our wits' end. What do we do? What can you do? Here you've got confident sailors shaken with fear. There's no hope, for the storm is too strong, the waves reach too high. Or you're, well, we've got enough manpower on board. Our ship is strong, all of that is laid to the side. We've got a strong army, we've got a strong economy, that might be laid to the side. But the difference is here. These men know how to call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. Verse 29, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Reminds you of a story in the New Testament, isn't it? Where the disciples are in the boat and Jesus is sleeping on the deck below. They come, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus on board. Don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus says, hush, be still. And the water came as calm as it's ever been. The hearts of these men here were filled with gladness, for they were reminded that they had a God who they could cry to. And I know that the first three stories should give us more joy than we could ever need. But also in this life on this earth, with the things that lie ahead of us, the things that come to us, the way when we can't see or predict 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years in the future, we can be glad because we can cry to God. And so it says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people. If I put the Bible together, I would say that's the church. And praise him in the assembly of the elders. They called upon the congregation, the church, to praise the Lord in times when it was hard. Why? because they walked with God. Christian people are not people without trouble. I think if you look at the New Testament, if you want to have trouble, become a Christian. You don't just get the natural trouble of this world. You get the trouble of being persecuted and put in all kinds of situations that other people might not. But there's a great difference. Now you know the Lord and you can cry upon God. And so when life gets hard, we can be thankful because we can cry upon the Lord. And we know that God answers immediately with his steadfast love. Now that's not always the way we want it or we think we want it. It's not if you go before God and say, I want $100 million on my bank account tomorrow. And God will say, sure, puts it on there. You know why? For the same reason I don't give my children $100 and say, go buy groceries for the week. Because they come back with bars and bars of candy and chewing gum and all the rest. In the same way, God knows what we need. And we don't have to answer all the difficult questions. That three-letter word, why? Don't worry. Psalm 107 says crystal clear that when we cry upon him, he answers us in his steadfast love every time. My dear brothers and sisters, remember that God has proven to be your Savior in all these circumstances. When you wandered in the desert, he brought you to the heavenly Jerusalem and is bringing you there. When you sat in darkness, he brought you to the light. When you were lost in sin, he brought you into salvation. When you were in danger, he is bringing you to safety. And therefore, let the wise consider the love of God and give him thanks, because this is a glorious day of thanksgiving. He's with us. He has saved us. And no matter what storm lies ahead, we have a God upon which we can call. And to that, I say a hearty amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're so awesome and amazing and glorious. We can just cry to the Lord and you answer. Lord, I cry for this city. You would bring salvation. Cry for our congregation to help us to be more like you. I pray for those who are mourning that you give them comfort. For those who are stressed that you give them peace. To those who are in pain, to give them healing or endurance. Father, most of all, I give you thanks that you are God and that you've called us by your name. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.